You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wells Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Last time I taught on fear or not to fear. No, I didn't teach on fear. Don't fear. Do not do it. But I taught on how you don't need to fear because God is with you. And we went over several scriptures, you know, that say God is with you. Or I love in Deuteronomy 31 where it says God goes before you. You know, he's taking care of it. And that just, it reminds me of how, you know, you see in, you know, scary movies or whatever. Or if you're scared, you want somebody to go in front of you. You don't want to let them take care of it. Let them monsters and, you know, get them. Well, that's what God does. He goes before you. He takes care of all the stuff in front, you know, before you. And I love football, and so I always think about, when I think of that scripture, about how the whoever has the ball, you know, if the quarterback has to run it in, or the receiver, or, you know, whoever, the running back, is that my hair that's doing that? You know, they've got the ball. Well, they're not really supposed to worry about everyone else coming up against them. You know, that's their teammate's job. And that's, God's our teammate. He's going in front of us. He's going, he's right there beside us, just taking care of it. And he's the one, you know, get away, get away. And you, the one with the ball shouldn't have to worry about the enemy. And they just keep pressing on to that finish, you know, the goal, to touchdown. I'm ready for football season. That's the only sport I'll watch. But I want to talk to you again, kind of on the same lines, but about how God is at your side. And because he's at your side, you don't have to worry about your future. You know, not just, you don't have to fear. And worry is kind of, it's fear. But I want to talk just, we don't have to worry about stuff. You don't have to get in doubt and unbelief because God is right there with you. So turn to Proverbs. Proverbs 3. And I'm like my dad, I can teach a whole chapter, but I'm not going to do that today. I'm going to try not to. Proverbs 3 is really good, and I like to give homework. I probably do it every time I teach, but I encourage you to go and read Proverbs 3, especially verses 1 through 10. Those are part A and part B. That's if you'll do, God's saying, if you'll do this, then I'll do this. If you'll do this, and he just says that several times in the first part of chapter 3. But I'm going to start in verse 21 where he says, my son or daughter, whoever, my son, let them not depart from your eyes. And what he's talking about is his word, is the law. And if you back up in verse 1 where he says, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. These are the things that we don't let depart from us. He tells us time and time again. In Joshua, you know, do not let this book of law depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. In Psalms 1, he says, you know, blessed is the man that doesn't do blah, 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 but in his law he meditates day and night. So he's saying, don't let them depart from your eyes. Don't let God's word. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So he's talking about keep sound wisdom. All through this chapter, he's talking about his law, his commands, and sound wisdom. So they will, this is God's word, will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. God's word is life. You know, and in Hebrews 4, where it says that God's word is living and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. That God's word is living and it is powerful. That's what gives us life. I share this in, you know, I teach a class. You can come to my class even if you're not in our age group. I don't mind. But we teach a college and career class, and one thing that I shared is I confess scriptures. I love the word. I quote scriptures every day. I quote them over my girls. I quote them over myself, over our finances. And Kel was fighting a battle a week or so ago, and one of the scriptures that I confess is Deuteronomy 30:19. And it says, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, therefore choose life. And I always say, I choose life, and I choose that for us. You know, I speak to my body, I speak to Adeline's, I speak to Mikhail's, I speak to Daddy's, because I'm normally talking to the girls. I speak to Daddy's body. We are all the healed Lord, and I speak in life into our body. I choose that. That's a choice. I have to choose life. I have to choose every day. You know, I need to choose to be in a good mood. You know, just because if you're in a bad mood, that's not anybody's fault except your own. You know, it's a choice that you have to make. And I was, you know, just saying these scriptures over her. And this is a scripture that I have said thousands of times, literally thousands of times, because I've quoted them since I've been married for, oh gosh, it'll be 6 years in December, and I quote them well before I got married. Every day I quote these scriptures. And it just came alive to me. I mean, how many years have I done this? Every single day. And it just came alive that when I was speaking that into her, I was planting a seed in her body. I was planting a seed of health into her body, because she was coughing. We were up all night. It was a Saturday night, and I had to teach the next morning. I was miserable. I was like, okay, we can't pray too long. I had to keep my eyes open. I'm going to fall asleep. But Saturday night, we were just up almost all night long with her, just coughing. And I was just praying, you know, confessing these scriptures just over and over. And I said it one time, and it was like God saying, you're speaking, you're planting health into her body. This, when you're speaking words, anytime, any words that you speak are seeds planted. And you got to be careful what you say. You know, you need to speak positively. You need to speak God's word. That's the best seed. Because once you get that bad seed, those are like weeds. They're hard to get out. But, gosh, I didn't mean to spend a long time on that. But God's word, it is life. You know, we're speaking life into our finances. We're speaking life into our church. We're speaking life into our job, into our marriage. Into, not necessarily just into your children as far as health is concerned, but as far as them obeying you. You can speak that into them. I stole this from Jerry Savelle, and I know Mindy does it too, but my children will obey quickly, and they will obey quietly. That means they'll do it fast, and they'll do it without complaining. And it's still a work in progress. So 4-year-olds are like teenagers already. 22, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then, after you've done this, after you've held on to God's word, you haven't let it depart from you, then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. You don't have to worry about what's going on because you are walking safely. You don't have to worry about, oh, am I going to make it? Oh, is this going to work? Or is this, am I going to get my bills paid? Or my kids, are they going to do good at school? You know, that's one thing that I battle. I don't want my kids to go to school. I don't. Because then they're not under my care. And, you know, I'm not there every single step. But I don't have to worry about it. They're going to walk safely. God's going to take care of them. And we're going to walk safely. In your way, in your foot will not stumble. I love that. You're not going to be tripping through life. You've got your head up. You're confident. And because you know that God's going to take care of you. Because you've done the first part. Don't forget his law. And a couple of verses, actually a lot of verses. In Psalms, especially in 2 Samuel, he says this too, that he's going to enlarge the place of your foot, where you're treading. He's going to enlarge that place. You know, you hear, narrow is the road, or broad is the road, leads to destruction. I don't care because it doesn't matter. I'm not going that other way. But you think a lot. You get this idea. A lot of people get this idea that living the Christian life or living like Christ, it's a tightrope, and it's not. It's not a tightrope. God enlarges the place of your foot, the place of your path. You know, in Psalms 31 verse 8, he talks about that, and then Psalms 40 verse 2, I think he says, "You put me on the rock." That he sets our foot as a step. Flip over Proverbs 4 just for a second. It's just right there. It's not hard. You won't get lost. In Proverbs 4, he says, it's all good too. We'll start in verse 25. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. This is an awesome verse for when you're driving. And I need to tell my husband this. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids, look right before you. Ponder, what he's saying is, don't look around you. You know, you don't have to worry about what they're doing over here or worry about what's going on. And not only that, but don't you worry about what you did in your past. You don't look behind you. You don't look to the left or to the right. You just look ahead. You just look. Hebrews 12 says, look into Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. That's who you look into. You look into the thing that is set before you. They teach you whenever you run races. I don't know because I didn't run them. I hear this. But they teach you, you don't look at the person running behind you. You just keep, because it's going to slow you down. And it's going to distract you. You're going to, oh, they're catching up. Or, they're doing, you know, they're doing so much better than I am. They tried this and it didn't work, so it's probably not going to work for me. Doesn't matter. You know, not everyone's called to do the same thing. It may work for you. It may not work for you. You do what God tells you to do. Anyway, so let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Our ways are going to be established. He's going to establish our paths. Back in Proverbs 3, he even says in verse Verse 5, you have to get part A. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. I love in the message. He says, trust me from the bottom of your heart and don't try and figure out everything on your own. We don't have to try and figure out everything on our own. We don't have to. That you'll get into a lot of worry and a lot of fear if you try and figure things out on your own. Just trust him. When he tells in Isaiah 1:18, come, let us reason together. And really, he's just saying, you come to me and I'm going to take care of it. Don't you worry about anything. Because there... You and God reason together aren't going to do anything. If God reasons, he's the one that's going to be doing all the reasoning. And then if you'll do this, and all your ways acknowledge him, and then he shall direct your paths. God's going to direct us. He's going to show us the way that we're supposed to go. And he's going to keep us safely. He won't let our foot stumble. Enlarge the place of our foot. And then in verse 24, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. If we've done verse 21, not letting his word depart from us, then our sleep will be sweet. And you know, when we lay down, we won't have to worry. Some, and us women especially, we will lay there. Oh, it's Halloween night time comes around. I am like up all night long. Okay, we got to do this, we got to do that. I have dreams about it. I have dreams. I literally have dreams all year long. That Holly night has come and I have done nothing. I'm like, no, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I wake up, oh, thank God, I still got 6 months. But I need to quote this word, this scripture at Holly night time, that my sleep will be sweet. In Psalm 16, he says in verse 7 that something about the night seasons, the air. I know it in the message. He says, the wise counsel you give me while I'm awake is confirmed by my sleeping heart. That the wise counsel that God gives me while I'm awake, the words that I read when I'm praying to him, you know, the things I hear him speak. And I'm not saying that God's just like constantly talking to me. He didn't tell me when I have to go to the bathroom, when I don't go to the bathroom, or, you know, when I need to leave or, you know, for work or whatever. Because I spend so much time in his word, I know the things that I need to do. I know what WWJD, what would Jesus do? That's, you know, he's who we look at. I know how God would act. I know the things that God would say or the way that God would respond to things because I spent time in his word, but I spent time looking at Jesus. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so I don't have to worry about whether or not what I'm doing is in the will of God, because if I'm spending enough time in his word, then I should just do the will of God. When it says in Hebrews 4:12 that his word is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and then it goes on and it says that piercing, I don't know exactly what it says, but it's saying basically that you'll know what's right and what's not right. The word will show you that. It'll show you what's right and what's not right. Something that we had to pray with someone today about was making a decision. They don't know which way. They want peace, and you should. You should make a decision based on peace, the peace that God gives you. When he tells us in Philippians 4:6 that be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God, and then the peace which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds. If you go to Jesus and you give it over to him and say, look, I'm not going to worry about this, then you're going to have peace. And you shouldn't make a decision unless you have that kind of peace. I'm talking about major decisions, you know, not just like, should I buy this or not at the store, like little things. Some things that just common sense. It's cheaper at this other store, so no. But, you know, major decisions, taking a job or buying a car or moving, you know, stuff like that. You should have peace about that. And in the little things, God is going to give you wisdom anyway. And that's what all Proverbs 3 is about, is he's going to give you wisdom. God is at your side. That's what I'm teaching. Where are we? Psalm 16, verse 11, the wise counsel that God gives me while I'm awake is confirmed by my sleeping heart. Because I spent time in God's word, day and night, confessing God's word, doing his word. That's one thing I confess over my girls, is that you love going to church and you love reading your Bible. You love reading the word, living the word, doing the word, sharing the word. They love all that. They're going to love the word. I want them to love the word like I love the word, and I love the word. But if you'll do that, if you'll love the word, do the word, read it, and, you know, share it, minister, witness, then you should have peaceful sleep because you don't have to worry about anything. You know, I don't have stuff keeping me up all night. In fact, the Bible tells us, and we'll eventually get to scripture, where it says that he neither sleeps nor slumbers. And like Dad always says, there's no sense in two of us staying awake. So just go to sleep. Let him take care of it. He's the one that's going to figure out anyway. You're not going to do a bit of good. Okay. Still in Proverbs 3. We have not gotten to the verse I want to get to. I can talk faster. I know I talk fast, but that means I can get a lot more in there. In verse 25, it says, "Do not be afraid of sudden terror or fear," is what Old King James says. Don't be afraid of sudden fear, nor trouble from the wicked when it comes. And when I read this verse, I always think of Mark 5 when Jairus comes to Jesus and says, "My daughter's lying at the point of death. Now, if you'll come lay your hands on her, she'll be healed." And along the way, some people come and say, "You know, why trouble the master any further? Your daughter's dead." And immediately, if you read it, immediately, Jesus turns to Jairus and says, "Do not be afraid, only believe." And that's sudden fear. You know, you've got to stay in faith. That's back to the words are seeds. The first thing that pops in your mouth is a seed planted, and you don't want to plant a seed of unbelief because that thing is hard to uproot. You want to plant a seed of faith. And Jesus immediately tells him, don't you say nothing. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. You only believe. He needed Jairus to believe. And God needs us to believe. He needs us to trust in Him. He works with us. He didn't, you know, He can do a whole lot of stuff, but He can't do it unless we're believing. In John 6, verse 29, it says, "The only work you do," basically, this is the meanest version, "the only work you do is believe. You don't have to do anything else. You just believe. You know, you don't have to worry. You don't have to stay up all night. You don't have to figure things out. Just let Him do it. You just believe. You just trust in Him. If you trust in Him, that's the tool that He uses is faith. He's like, "Oh, look, I can do anything. If you'll just give me a little bit of faith to use, that's what gets this ball rolling, and I can take care of it. I'll figure it out for you. You go to sleep. You don't worry about it. I'm going to take care of it for you." Anyway, also in Mark 5 where he says, in the Amplified, he says, "Hearing but ignoring." You know, you a lot of times will hear stuff, but you need to ignore it. You're going to hear all kinds. You'll hear a lot of stuff on the news. You're going to hear stuff from your family, sometimes your church family. They're not always the most positive people, I'm sorry. But you will hear it, and sometimes you're going to have to ignore what people say. You have to ignore what circumstances are saying to you. You have to ignore what's going on in the world. And you'll hear all kinds of things, but you have to ignore it. And you just keep going. Okay. The verse, da-da-da-da, we're there. Verse 26. If you're in my class, you know, I'm a little scattered. Verse 26, "For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught." God keeps us from being caught, but confidence. That word confidence is the same word as trust. That's the definition of it, means that it's trust. He will be my trust. He's who I put my trust in. But also, and this is it, I love this, your flank. That's what confidence means, the flank. God is right there. That's this part. Those love handles, that's what that is. God is your love handle. He's your flank. He's right there with you. He is on your side. You know, when I always think about an army when you hear the word flank, that if you're a hunter, you think of animals. Anyway, you will never be outflanked because He's right there with you. He's wherever you go, God is your confidence. He's right there beside you. Turn to Psalms 121. This is one of my dad's favorite verses. He has quite a few, but I know he likes this one. In Psalms 121, verse 1, he says, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills." But important, I write my Bible. I think you can. I think you should. I have notes everywhere. Hebrews and Ephesians are ridiculous. But I wrote in this, and it says, "We choose." This is my choice. I choose to look to God to be my help. "I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help?" I turn page. "My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." And then I wrote my Bible again. I write a lot. He's got a pretty good resume. He made heaven and earth. There's a song. I got this message at 4:35 yesterday. I leave the office at 4:30, and I'm still doing stuff. And I have been studying and studying. Ron let me study for 2 hours on Monday. He took the girls, and I just, you know, holed up in our bedroom and just, I studied everything. I think I read the Bible 5 times, frontwards and backwards. I was reading notes. I listened to messages yesterday morning. I'm like, I just need something. I had a message. I'm like, I could teach this. I thought it was good. I want to teach on the love of God and how we need to not fall in love with God necessarily. We do at one time need to fall in love with God, but we need to stay in love with God. You shouldn't have to fall in love with Him over and over. You need to stay in love with Him. But and I was like telling God, God, you know, I teach tomorrow night. I need something. Because I didn't have peace about it. I needed to have peace about it. And when I read that verse in in Proverbs 3, 26, as soon as I read it, how God is our flank, my love handle, I knew that is what I was going to teach on. But what I wanted to teach on was love. And I like this verse where he says that my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. That's where my help comes from. It didn't come from anybody else. There is a song that says, talking about how we're just searching and searching for things. And he says, why are you still searching as if I'm not enough? God's all we need. He's it. He made heaven and earth. You can't get much better than that. He says, where are you going to, in the songs, it continues, it says, where are you going to go? Where are you going to run? Where are you going to hide? There's nowhere else to go. I'm it. I'm the best thing that's ever going to happen to you. I made heaven and earth. Hello. I'm your Father. God, our Father, made heaven, and that's where my help comes from. He will not allow your foot to be moved. In Psalms 125, it's easy. It's just right across the page if you have my Bible. Those who trust in the Lord, verse 1, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. That we're surrounded. You are surrounded, but we're surrounded by Jesus, by God. He's our flank. He's our confidence. He's our trust. So back in Psalms 121, we have Bible drills. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you, here it is, he will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade. Keeper, protector, your preserver. He is your shade at your right hand. My dad says, He's your shade in the heat of the battle. When things get tough, you've got your flank. You've got your love handle. Hey, we all got them. We all got love. We got two of them. We all have them. But he's right there with us. The Amplified says he's on the side, not carrying a shield. He's right there protecting us, taking care of us. I don't need to worry about what's going on. I don't need to worry about what's happening in the world. And I don't need to worry about what's happening with other people as far as my life is concerned. Like, it's... when you're going to make this decision to do something, and you think, well, I know that so-and-so did, oh, sickness. I know that so-and-so had the same symptoms. This happened to them. They broke out in this rash, and then, they were out of work for like 2 weeks. And you start thinking on that and dwelling on that. You don't have to think about that. It doesn't matter. They're not you. You're not them. That didn't have to happen to you. Oh, another song. I love music. This was actually... I watch a lot of Disney Channel with Kel, and I told Ryan I have a new favorite show on Disney Channel today. But there was this song, this little girl, she's in a band, and there was a song that said, she said, I'm not afraid to fall, I'm just going to answer the call. And I thought, that will go right along with my message. But she's not afraid, you shouldn't be afraid to fall. You don't have to, because your foot will not stumble, is what the Bible, we just read that. Your foot's not going to stumble. Your feet are established. Your foot is on a rock. It's on the rock of Jesus Christ. I am not going to be afraid to fall. I'm just going to answer the call that God's put on my life. And, we all have different callings. I know that I went to college, I was going to be a doctor. A lot of y'all know this. And I got a degree in biology. I have a bachelor's in biology. And but my junior year, it was challenging, but I just was praying. Man, it was Walt. I talked to Walt one day. It was after Holly and I, he was talking to me about what I was going to do, and I just told him I don't have peace about it. I mean, I like to do it, but I don't have peace about it. And he just talked to me about it. He says, well, you just need to pray, all the stuff. And I did. I prayed about it, and I knew that I wasn't called to be a doctor. And I talked to my parents. That was the hardest thing, because college is not cheap. But so I talked to my parents one day, and I just told them, I said, I don't want to be a doctor. I said, I want to finish college. I will finish. This is the middle of my junior year. Oh, no, it was October of my junior year. I said, I don't want to finish college. I mean, I want to finish college, but I don't want to be a doctor. And Dad's like, well, what do you want to do? I said, I really feel like I'm supposed to be doing something in the church. I said, I want to travel with you. I want to minister with you. And here I am. This is what I do. And I'm just the secretary. I am. I'm the secretary for the church, and I love it. And this, I know, I have peace now. This is what I'm supposed to do. I'm not supposed to be a doctor. And no longer are supposed to be the secretary of this church anyway, because I am. But this is what I was called to do, is to minister the Word of God. And I know that because I know so much Scripture, and I can quote Scripture like nothing. I mean, I'm my dad. I'm my father's daughter for sure. But I know that's the call of God on my life. That is something that God did. I mean, He put that on me. And I know that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing because I have peace about it. But I'm not worried. You know, I don't make near as much money as I would if I'd become a doctor. Believe me. But I'm not worried about it because God's taking care of me. I don't have to. If I had done that, if I had gone to be a doctor, there would not have been any blessing on that because that's not what God called me to do. But I'm not afraid to fall because I'm going to answer the call of God. And that call is to do His Word, to minister His Word. Anyway, moving on. The Lord is your keeper, verse 5. He is my preserver. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve you or keep you. You're going out and you're coming in from this time forth and forever and even forevermore. In Psalms 91, where he talks about... I'll turn there real quick. Psalms 91. And this is one that I quote every day, too. I love this. He says in verse 1, you should personalize Scripture. You should, this is what I say. Because I dwell in the city, I'm going to have to just confess it, because if I try and read it, I'll get all tongue tangled. Because I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, I shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And we're going to abide in that shadow. Right there, I love that too. I taught one time how, whenever if you're in someone's shadow, God is bigger than us. Okay, we got that, right? God's bigger than us. If I'm in His shadow, I should be so close to Him in His shadow that you don't even see me. You don't even see my shadow even. Because then I look like God. You know, I'm just lost in that. And the enemy doesn't see anybody but God. But if I step away from Him, if I get in sin and get in a little bit further from God, then you start seeing my shadow. And then the enemy can... Well, I know Amanda's there somewhere because I see that's her... That's, you know, the shape of her body, the shadow. And then if I get a little further from Him, then I am... Here I am, I'm exposed, and now I'm free for all. Devil can attack me, but I need to stay as close to Him because I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I shall abide in that shadow. I live, I dwell, I stay right there in the shadow of God. Okay, because I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, I shall abide in the shadow of Almighty. I will say to the Lord, You are my refuge and my fortress, my God, and You will I trust. Surely You will deliver me from the snare of the fowler, from the perilous pestilence. You shall cover me with Your feathers, and Your wings I shall take refuge. I love it. Just like the little chicks with their mama hen, you know, that's what I think about it. God just puts His feathers over us. You don't even see us. We're hidden in His feathers. But that He's right there taking care of us. He, like a mama hen, He's taking care of us. His truth shall be my shield and my buckler. I will not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but shall not come nigh me. It doesn't matter what's going on around me. Because why? God is my flank. He's my confidence. He's my love handle. That could be the message. God is our love handle. Don't write that. But God's our flank. He's right there beside us, taking care of us. Every step we go, there He is right there with us, protecting us, our keeper, our preserver, our life giver, our peace giver, our forgiver. He is taking care of us, and I don't have anything to worry about. I'm not worried about what's going on around me. I don't care that 1,000 people tried it and they failed, and I don't care that 1,000 people got this and they got sick or they died. I don't care. It doesn't matter. None of those things move me. I'm not moved by that because I stand fast on God's Word. I hold fast to that, and I know that He's right there at my side taking care of me. Turn to 2 Chronicles real quick. Really fast. This is it. Promise. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. But one thing, because I know that God's called me to do this, and just like my dad will say it too, where is 2 Chronicles? I know, I found it. My dad says this all the time. He's like, well, God, this is Your idea. I didn't want to come to Will's Point. Same thing. You can say, well, God, You're the one that called me to do this. And remind God. You're not really reminding Him. He knows. I'm like, God, I'm supposed to teach tomorrow night. What do you want me to teach? But I wouldn't worry because I knew I was just a little stressed out. I'm not going to worry about it. I know he's going to. I almost called my dad. Don't tell him. I almost called my dad last night to say, Dad, I do not know what to teach. I mean, I can teach anything. I got this great message on God's love, but I don't know. I was like, should I call somebody to preach it for me? Coming down with something. But I didn't. I just trusted him. And then lo and behold, birthday, I wish you gave me a little more time to study. But you're reminding yourself, really, that, hey, God's called you to this, and because he called you, he's going to take care of you. This isn't you doing this. This isn't you doing it on your own. You didn't get here by yourself, and you're sure not going to continue on your journey by yourself. He's right there beside you. My dad will say it all the time, you know, Will's Point. He goes, was it my idea? I didn't want to come here. I tell Mikhail all the time, you weren't my idea. No, I'll tell God all the time. Cause I'm not going to say Mikhail wouldn't plan because God planned her. We wanted to have children, but much later. And God's like, I'll give you a child. And I was like, gosh, it was your idea. But no one could have made a more wonderful, beautiful child. She's my best friend. But gosh, I don't know why I'm going to cry about that. But he was certainly her idea. And I jokingly say that all the time. This was right. But I did want a little girl with curly hair. I always wanted a girl. And so every time I brush it, God's laughing, saying, that was your idea. Because it's a mess. And so we prayed for, and when we prayed for Adeline, I said, I want a girl. I wanted a girl. Ryan didn't. My faith was stronger. But I said, I want a girl with straight hair. And she's going to have straight hair. It's, thank you, Jesus. See what happens when you confess? You can get whatever you want. Okay, this is what happened. God told these people, we're in 2 Chronicles 20. He told Jehoshaphat, the children of Israel way back when, he said, I don't want you to bother all these armies that are coming up. They're going into this land. And he says, I don't want you to go through that land. I don't want you to ask them, you know, for water. If you want to purchase stuff from them, you can, but I don't want you to expect to get it from them. I want you to go around it. I want you to go around the land. And so this is what happens. This is probably my favorite story. It happened in verse 1. It happened after that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was a good king. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria. And they are in these places, which we, and Gedi, here, there we go. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself. There's what happened. Whenever you have fear, believe me, when Jairus heard that his daughter was dead, he had fear. There is no doubt about it. I'm sure he had some fear. But he could not speak. In Matthew 6, verse 31, he says, take no thought, saying, because as soon as you take that thought, you're planting something. But we don't be afraid of sudden fear. Don't give in to that. Don't give in to that thought. And that's what this is what happens here. Whenever you have fear, you set yourself. You set yourself to seek the Lord. He sought the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And so Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And then moving on, verse 5. Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, oh Lord, and I love this. This is like the best thing to say to God. Oh Lord God, our fathers. And you got to see, this is kind of, he's being sarcastic. You got to read this with this in mind. He says, oh Lord God, our Father, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven, and do you not rule over all the kingdoms and the nations? And in your hand, is there not power and might so that no one is able to stand against you? Are you, and this is right in your Bible, circle this, are you not our God? This is our God. He's not anybody else's God. This is my Father, the one, remember, who made heaven and earth. Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sore judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and say, really? Don't you remember this, God? Remember? Remember who you are? I read your resume. And now, here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us for not going through their land. Read that. I mean, it's humorous. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are upon you. I'm not going to worry about it. I don't know what's in the future. It doesn't matter what's in the future. I know that my future is set. God said in Jeremiah 29:11 that I know the thoughts I have for you. The plans are the thoughts. Plans to prosper you. To give you a future and expect it in. And that expected in is not your expected in. That is His expected in, because He expects so much more from us than we do. But I have a great future. I don't know what's going to happen along the way, but I know that my eyes are on Him. I don't know, you know, I can't, what He tells us in, what is it, Psalms 18, I think, verse 17, He says, you deliver me from my enemy, for they were too strong for me. That there's going to be time, hey, we cannot, honest to God, cannot whip the devil by ourselves. We need God. We need the Word of God. And that's what He said. Look, God, we can't do this. We don't know how to do it, but it doesn't matter because our eyes are upon you. We know that you're our flank. We're not going to be outflanked. You're right there beside us, taking care of us, and you're protecting us so that nothing's going to come, you know, nothing's going to harm us. And that's what Psalms 91 is all about, that God's our protector, that He's going to take care of us. And the rest of the story, what happens is, sure enough, God delivers them. He sets an ambush up, and then they go out and praise God. And when, as soon as they start praising Him, ambush is set against all these armies, and every single one of them killed each other, so none of them lived. And then they spent 3 days gathering up spoil and everything from that. But that's, you know, I want to encourage you that you don't need to. I don't know what you're going through. I assume that you're going through the same things I am. You used to have the same bills I do, and y'all have children that think, you know, maybe four, think they're 16, 17, or whatever. You know, you're all dealing with the same kind of things I am. And so I know that you can make it. You know that we don't have to worry about what's going on. And we don't compare yourselves. You know, the Bible tells you, don't compare yourselves among yourselves. I don't need to, you know, what Mindy's doing. It's like, oh man, Mindy's doing so good, and look, she's doing so good with her kids, and her kids are doing great. Oh man, I wish I was like that. No, I run my own race. Mindy runs her own race, and I'd probably trip over her anyway. I mean, I don't run very well. But we're in this together, in a sense, but we're doing our own thing. And it's all of us doing our own thing that makes this race so great, that makes this church so great. But I don't have to worry what's going on around me, in front of me, or behind me, because God is right there with me. Take every step of the way. He's my defender. He's my football player, just moving it out of the way for me, taking care of me. Amen?